She's been with the Pac-12 Network since day one. Like I always say, the hostess with the mostest on Twitter. Use the handle at Adamson Ashley. And she's always repping the 617. The BC Eagle herself, Ashley Adamson, joins us. Ashley, how is life treating you and yours these days?
Steve, it's great to be with you. Things are good. We're back on the road, and we are at football games in person. So to say that last weekend at Autzen and seeing the fans and being on the field, it was the first time I have taken in any game in person since December of 2019. And any sporting event, period, you got to go back to March, whatever it was, 9th, when everything shut down, 10th, the Colorado-Washington State men's basketball game in Vegas. That was the last in-person live event that I was at. So to say that it was a sweet return to what felt like a little bit of normal life, even though it looked a little bit different, certainly, and we are not back to normal yet, but it was great to be back on the road, and it's nice to feel like there's at least a little bit of normalcy returning compared to what we were in last fall, that's for sure.
You know, before we get to football, around the last time we spoke was March Madness time. And, of course, we know Tara Vanderveer won her third title. But I wanted to kind of hit on Arizona, what Coach Adia Barnes did, one of the great players taking over a program that was in a free fall. I mean, they play for the title 3 years after they won 6 games. I know you were all over it. The coverage was awesome. She had, as a Jersey guy, I appreciated her legendary flip-off after beating UConn. But just that story, Ashley, just how remarkable and just heartfelt and just entertaining was that?
It was unbelievable. And, just when you think about all of, well, there are so many things, and I appreciate you bringing up Adia and Tara, because I could talk about those two and those programs all day, and I know we've got a lot of football to get to as well. But it's still, even just listening to you recap it, it gives me chills to think about what we saw last March and the fact that we had an all Pac-12 national championship, the fact that Tara got it done. Felt like the basketball gods were on her side in the end. But I will say, what Adia Barnes has done, I've never witnessed anything like it. To take a program in which 4 years ago you could hear a pin drop at their games because no one was there, to now being, I mean, in some ways, you know, the face of college basketball a lot, and her and Ari McDonald and what that team did, and the belief that they had in her, it was really special. We're working actually at the Pac-12 Network on an hour-long kind of documentary documenting the rise of Arizona basketball under Adia, and so it's been really fun. We went and had some sit-down interviews with her and the players, and we just talked to Ari a couple weeks ago. So we're putting that together, and hopefully we'll have that out in October or November, and we're doing the same for Stanford season. But it was one of those moments that you know that you're kind of watching something historic and special that you're going to look back on and say, holy cow, I can't believe this happened. And it's still in the moment hard to process just how truly amazing that was.
No, it was captivating. So you mentioned you were in town with the network. You had the great coverage with Coach Burton, Coach Aliotti. You debuted in Eugene. So you're in the fourth quarter, and the Ducks need a rally to beat Fresno State. Was there a moment in the fourth quarter when you're looking at each other thinking, what are we witnessing, and how fun is this post game going to be?
Yeah. Oh, we had exactly the moment. We were sitting in the press box because we spent the first half on the field because we did the halftime live on the field, and then post game wasn't live because we were going directly to the USC game because of the way the time set up. So whatever we were going to do was going to be taped and airing later in the day. And so we're looking at each other, and I said to our producer, Bob, I said, so God forbid this goes the way that it looks like it could be going. Are we still, we were supposed to get a player and or a coach on field right after the game. And he said, yeah, we're going to have to reassess because this will be a very different post game if the Ducks don't pull one out of their hats. And on literally like that next drive, Anthony Brown came up big. And man, it's always a reminder that the first game of the season, you learn a lot about yourself. I think you can practice and feel good and do all these things, but having one game under your belt helps a lot. And you saw the difference of a Fresno State team that has a very talented quarterback in Jake Haener, that Pac-12 fans know well, and the fact that they've had one game under their belt, I think helped them a lot. So obviously it was devastating to see Kayvon Thibodeau standing there in the boot on the sideline in street clothes. That was something you never, ever want to see. And it felt like it took the Ducks a second to regroup from that. Yeah. After he went out, Fresno State just marched right down the field and scored on that very next possession. So they obviously missed him. And I haven't seen any updates as of today on what his status is, but boy, you got to hope that he's able to go and be as close to 100% as he can be if they're going to have a chance in Columbus this weekend.
Yeah, Coach Cristobal said day-to-day, but he's going to make the trip. I'm pretty optimistic. I think there was a lot of caution there, but you can't quote me on that. Talking with Ashley Adamson, Pac-12 Network. So as you were speaking with Coach Aliotti and Burton, obviously your observation about Anthony Brown early on, cashed in on opportunities, then kind of took a while, I thought, to get in sync with the offensive line. But Ash, when the game hung in the balance, the big field goal drive to try it, his great run to score the game-winning TD, what was the consensus on his running this offense and what he might be capable of?
Yeah, I think it was probably what a lot of, you know, if they had lost that game, I think this would be a very different conversation. But the ultimately, I think one of the reasons that he earned the starting job, and in talking to the coaches last week, it's that he checks all the boxes that you want in a starting quarterback, and a lot of that is experience and big game experience and being able to, you know, he is, I think it was Alex Forsyth that called him a flatliner. And he meant that as a huge compliment. Like, this is a guy who is not going to get too high and he is not going to get too down. And that is what you want to have. Someone who, when the moment comes, they are going to be able to hopefully deliver. And he did that. I mean, it was to go for it on fourth and two and for have him, you know, keep it and score a 30-yard touchdown. It was exactly what Oregon needed in that moment. And he came up with it. So, yeah, I think there were moments throughout the game that you kind of thought, well, I thought this offense would be a little bit further ahead. It looked like it was turning on all cylinders originally, and C.J. Verdell and Travis Dye both score early on. You're thinking, okay, this is on cruise control. They've got this. Johnny Johnson has a big catch, you know, big touchdown. And then it's kind of like it did sort of stall out a little bit. I know Alex Forsyth was out with cramps, and I'm sure not having your starting center in maybe mixed things up a little bit for a little while, and he eventually came back in. But I think there was some good and some bad, and they'll learn, you know, hopefully I'm sure Anthony will learn from the tape. I was really impressed with him just in talking to him. It was the first time I'd actually been able to chat with him was after the game. And he's, you know, not just because he's a former BC guy, do I think he's smart, but
no,
I think that he's, you know, he's a guy who's been through, he's had two ACL injuries. He has overcome a lot. And I think he feels like this is his chance to do something special. And the coaches believe in him. So, yeah, it's going to be a much different situation at the Shoe on Saturday, 9 a.m. But I think they chose him for all the reasons that, you know, Mario said. He's got poise. He can hurt you with his arm. He can hurt you with his legs. And he's got experience. And he's even keeled. So that's what you want in your quarterback. And he's a good leader. So
and
I think,
he's
you know,
BC
there was a fan
Eagle
behind me yelling, put Ty Thompson in like the third quarter. And I'm going, that's why fans don't coach. But,
yeah.
You know, those cheers will get louder, I'm sure, if the offense, you know, sputters this year. But I do think, you know, I believe in him from just the small sample size that I have of what I've seen.
Yeah, we're still waiting for the one coach to set up kind of the technology in the stands where the fans get to vote, and that's how they decide who's
right
going to play.
Yeah, uh-huh. Still so, working on that tech.
Ashley, a lot of was made of what this defense could be. I mean, they've had 12 5-stars in the history of the program. Four are on defense right now. They didn't have a great game, but they kind of knuckled down, held Fresno State to 3 field goals, took the ball away, stopped them with the outcome hanging in the balance. So what was the word about figuring it out when they needed to and what we might see as this unit grows and comes together?
Yeah, and I think part of that is, right, they've got a new defensive coordinator in Tim DeRuiter who came over from Cal and who is, I think regarded as a very, very unbelievably smart defensive-minded coordinator and somebody who, anytime you have a new coordinator, right, even if you're running a similar system, there's going to be some different wrinkles and some different things. So he said they worked really hard on making sure that they had their signals down because, he's like, it's going to be loud and we want to make sure this is something that a lot of these guys last year, they haven't played in front of true fans, you know, like in a loud stadium in a long time. So that was something that they worked on. He said there's new calls, a little bit of a new system, and also, you know, just being back in front of fans and what that does for a defense. Now, I think you look at Justin Flo and what he was able to do, and seeing him up close and in person, again, it was the first time I was able to see him actually play. That guy's a beast. He ended up with 14 tackles and, yep. You know, a TFL. I think he had the most single game tackles by a freshman at Oregon since Troy Dye his freshman year in 2016. So he's the real deal. They've got some dudes on that side of the ball, right? Like they've got guys in the secondary that are proven. They've got the linebacking core, I think is probably the strength of that defense. But Kayvon Thibodeau is the heart and soul of that defense. And I think you saw, again, back to the point of earlier, just when he left with an ankle injury, how it took them a little bit to regroup. So it will be interesting to see, again, if he plays, and hopefully I hope you're right. I hope he plays. I hope he's a go. If he's traveling, that's a good sign. It's great that the x-rays were negative. But I think this defense has a chance to be really good without him, if they can sort some things up, because they've got a bunch of guys. But it has a chance, if it's going to be great, a truly great defense. I think Kayvon is the answer to that, ticket to that.
Few final thoughts for Ashley Adamson, the Pac-12 Network. Conference-wise, let's get to the brightest moment. Season 4, UCLA under Chip Kelly. You know, they had a game under their belt. Hawaii, then they knocked off LSU out of the SEC. Obviously, Ash's signature victory. Seeing this team, the weapons on offense and experienced defense, considering it was a little thin when he took over, is there a sense that this is a Chip Kelly team to be reckoned with?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was it was nice. It was the biggest win, biggest regular season win in the Pac-12 that I have witnessed since I've been here doing this. Now this is my 10th season. I can't remember a game that felt this high of magnitude and what it maybe meant for the conference as a whole, not just UCLA. But it was it's a really big deal to take out, you know, Ed Orgeron and a ranked SEC opponent that's 2 years removed from winning the Natty. I know they had a down year last year, and who knows what's going to happen the rest of the way this season. I hope they go and win every single game from here on out. But I will say that I think that it was exactly what the conference needed. Now, I hated that the night ended with a thud, and I could have never predicted that UW was going to lose to Montana. I certainly didn't think Cal was going to lose to Nevada. I didn't think Washington State was going to lose to Utah State. There were some outcomes towards the end of the night that it was like, oh, man. It took a little bit of the wind out of the sails. But in terms of, if you could have given me one win on Saturday from a conference perspective, that was the game. And it wasn't like they escaped with a win. They got better and better and better as the game went on, and they put it on the Tigers. I mean, they really did. They looked like, all you hear about is, oh, the Pac-12 can't compete with the SEC teams in the trenches. We don't get the same push at the line, blah, blah, blah. You watch that game, and just, they were out-coached. Chip Kelly flat out out-coached LSU. And the dudes he has now in year number 4, and it's why I think we probably need to give head coaches a little bit more time to get their people and their systems in place. But they have depth, and they have experience, and they've got guys. Zach Charbonnet is special.
Oh, yeah.
And Britton Brown is special. And what Greg Dulcich, his story is unbelievable. And the big play that he had, I mean, DTR showed up in a way that everyone was wondering if he was going to be able to. He had, you know, I'm sure a few plays he'd want back, but in the end, he really delivered when he needed to. So it was a monster win for UCLA, for Chip Kelly, for the conference. And I just, you know, I hope that people are paying attention. They should be now, certainly, to what's going on in Westwood.
So, love Nigel Burton. He's a regular on the show. He's one of my favorite guys. What level of consoling has he needed through the early part of this week?
In terms for Nigel?
Yeah, for the Huskies losing to Montana.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, my God. He was, I was glad to not be watching the end of that game with him. I think he was, like most Husky fans, and former Husky players. That was, I mean, you could argue that was the worst loss in program history. I think there are a lot of people now. It's never as bad as it feels or never as good as it feels. And I do believe that wherever you're, you know, you can apply that to every single outcome every single week. But that felt 7 points against Montana is a tough pill to swallow. They have a chance it wasn't the end of the season. They have a chance. It's game one to into the Big House this weekend. And if they can beat Michigan, that will go a long way in righting the ship. But, man, a ranked Pac-12 team at home putting up 7 points. I'm still scratching my head as to how that happened. And we were driving back during a lot of that game, so I was watching it and trying to watch the LSU-UCLA game as well in the car on the drive back to the Portland airport. But I can't describe what that was. But Nigel needed a hug, and I think a very cold beer at the end of Saturday night.
All right, so let's wrap with our marketing hats on. And as we had week zero rolled into week one, now week two. I know there's a doubleheader on the network. So the football coverage that's going to be coming at us this week, what should we look for from you, Yogi? Who, by the way, as you pointed out, the only one who picked UCLA in the South, Coach Burton
that's
and everyone.
Right.
What's on tap with the Pac-12 network coming at us?
Yeah, so we're headed to Pullman for the road show this weekend. So Portland State, Washington State at 3 o'clock. We will begin our pregame coverage at 2 with The Tailgate, which is a new show that we have. That's from 2 to 2:30, and then at 2:30 it will actually be Nick Aliotti and Michael Bumpus and myself, the former Coug.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and Nigel will actually be in studio for Pac-12 After Dark. And then we've got San Diego State in Arizona, and that's where Ted and Yogi will be, and that game kicks at 7. So Jed Fish's home opener at 7 o'clock. I think it's going to be packed. I think it's going to be rowdy. Steve Kerr is the honorary captain, which is just awesome. I mean, Jed Fish, I hope the wins come, because the way he is galvanizing that fan base and the way he is tapping into all of the greats and the legends that have come through that place and making them feel a part of it and bringing them back has just been like a masterclass in how to do it. So well, I'm hoping the wins come. I think they showed a little bit of promise against BYU. Again, there's a lot to learn from that first game. They had their chances, certainly, and shot themselves in the foot a few times. But I think they're going to win some games under him, and I think it's going to be interesting to see what it looks like on Saturday night at 7 o'clock at Arizona Stadium. I'm excited for that. And then Pac-12 After Dark afterwards. So, yeah, we're rolling, man. Week two is here, and we are off and running.
Well, Coach Fish has kind of a tall order. I've kind of drawn a parallel between that, maybe what Chip walked into. But anyway, folks,
yeah.
She's Ashley Adamson, your hostess with the mostest, the handle Adamson Ashley on Twitter. Ash, always appreciate your time. Wishing you and your family well. Have a great week, too. And, of course, I look forward to catching up soon down the road. Thanks a million, Ashley.
Absolutely. Thanks, as always, for having me on. Great to catch up. And we'll see what happens this weekend. I'm excited that we're back in the mix.
All right. Have a good one, Ash. Take care.
See you, Steve.
Bye.